I'm pretty nervous. I don't like public speaking. I've only done it one time, so I will probably stumble over my words. I'll say a lot. I'll refer to the same thing like two or three times. So give me a little grace. But so like Scotty said, I'm from Lincoln. I graduated from Southwest High School in 2018. I went down to the university and I played football there for 5 years. I started for 3 years. I majored in special education and elementary education. I'm now a teacher at Southwest High School. So back to where I graduated from. So I'm just going to kind of give you guys like an overview of kind of my walk through my faith, along with my testimony, also along with my conversion story. I'm still in the process of conversion right now. I will be getting confirmed on June 16th this summer at the Newman Center. I will be receiving the Eucharist for the first time, and that is where my wife and I are going to be renewing our wedding vows with Father Sassy at the Newman Center. So I'm still in that process of conversion. So I'm just going to kind of lay it all out there, talk for about 20, 25 minutes. There'll be time for questions if you guys have any. Think of some. It can be about anything, faith-related, sports-related. I'd be happy to answer. But, yeah. So, kind of in the beginning, I come from a very devout Christian home. My parents are super devout Christians. My mom was Catholic for 35 years. That's why I was baptized as a Catholic, as an infant. My dad was Lutheran, so my dad didn't see eye to eye with the Catholic Church. He's kind of coming around now that I'm becoming Catholic. But they left the Catholic Church and they became Methodist, which we went to a church on the south side of Lincoln. That's a bigger church. So I always grew up in a Christian household. My parents made it their priority to make sure that Jesus was the number one priority of my life all the time. Like, I put my identity in Christ. That was the most important thing to me. Nothing mattered. Other things mattered, but nothing else mattered as much as Jesus. So, towards the end of high school, my junior year of high school, I transferred to Southwest. I was going to Norris High School out in Firth, and in high school, I got to Southwest, and I started living for the world. Now, I wasn't attending church as much on Sundays. I was going away from my youth group. Really, I was not the man who represented Christ all throughout my life. So, in high school, you know, I thought I was a man. My senior year, I was like, I'm the man, like. I used a different terminology last night when I was practicing this, but I thought I was sick. I was going to Nebraska to play football. I was indulging myself in things high schoolers should not be indulging themselves in. So towards the end of high school, I was completely out of my faith. I get to Nebraska. I have a very rude awakening. So for those of you who know a little bit about football, going from high school football to Division I college football is like night and day difference. The game's sped up. Dudes are so much better than you, especially as a true freshman. I had this mindset that I was going to go in day one as a true freshman walk-on and earn a starting spot. There was no chance that was going to happen. So I kind of fell into like this depression, and I really started spiraling, like just living for the world 24/7, always worrying about what checklist I had to get done for the week as a freshman, from classwork to getting to lifts to getting my meals in to make my weight, getting done with practice, getting done with film, and once that was all over, like I knew I could go and party. That's all I was worried about, was getting through that checklist to go and party. Just a terrible way to live life. No God, no nothing in my life. Just just completely ignoring it. I was disrespecting my faith, my family, everything that I've been raised on. I didn't care. So going through this, I was just so depressed. Like, God talks about putting your identity in Christ, right? I was putting my identity into being a football player and basically somebody who party 24/7. I did not want to go to church. I did not want to care about anything else in life. I had my wife, who was then my girlfriend. I didn't care about her. I didn't care about my family. I didn't want to do anything else besides party. So in this midst of depression, I hated football. Like, football was my first love. That's where I put my identity in for so long. I was over it. I didn't want to play anymore. My coach hated me. I made one mistake my true freshman year at Nebraska, and my special teams coach just hated me from then on out, I swear. And I was like, there's no point in me being here. I'm never going to play. I don't want to be here anymore. So I called my dad, and my dad is, like I said, a very devout Christian, man of God. I'm like, Dad, I don't want to play anymore. I'm going to quit. He's like, no, don't quit. Just stick it out. Just see what it's like this year. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, I'll listen to you. I'll stick it out through spring ball. Spring ball goes good. I'm like, all right, maybe, like, there's a chance for me to play next year as a redshirt freshman. So I'm still kind of in this depression phase where I'm not happy. I don't have Christ in my heart. Still just living for the world. And I'm sitting there with my girlfriend. It's like middle summer. I had just gotten back from lifting down at the university, and I'm sitting there with her, and I broke down crying. I was like, I hate who I am. I hate who I've become. Like, this is not anything I've been raised on. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I hit my rock bottom. I literally hit my rock bottom. I was in tears. I had nothing else to turn to besides God. And so I'm asking my girlfriend, who I forgot to mention, my girlfriend, who is now my wife, she was a super, super devout Catholic until she met me. I, like, told her when we started dating, I was like, I was super firm in my faith. I was like, I will never become Catholic. Don't ask me to become Catholic. If you want me to become Catholic, you're gonna have to break up with me. I will not be married Catholic. Like, I used to dog on the Catholic Church. So that is one thing that, and you'll learn more about that through my conversion story, but I used to despise the Catholic faith. And obviously I've had a very big turnaround in that. But anyway, so I was sitting there with my girlfriend. She's like, well, call your pastor. I was like, that's a great idea. I haven't talked to my pastor in 2 years. No shot he's going to answer. But, like, I'll give him a call. And I went to a pretty big church in South Lincoln. Our congregation was fairly large, and I was probably asking something that most people ask him, and he says no. But it was worth a shot. So I call him, and I go, Pastor Jason, would you meet with me once a week to go over Scripture so I can find Christ again? And he was like, well, sure. I was like, all right, sweet. So I started meeting with my pastor once a week. We'd go over Scripture, and we would kind of compare it to other denominations of Christianity. So, like, I compare it with what the Catholics said, with what the Lutherans said, with what the Baptists said, and we would discuss it, and we would interpret it together. And I remember reading about the bread of life, how Jesus talks about to gnaw on his flesh, and the Eucharist, basically. And I told my pastor, I was like, that's so morbid and cannibalistic. Like, how can they believe that? And I was dogging on the Catholic faith. And one of my very first tattoos I ever got was a rosary. And I had no clue that that was, like, a Catholic art piece. Like, why are you dogging on the Catholic faith? Like, you literally have Catholic jewelry on you, tattooed on you. I was like, I didn't know, man. I thought it was a sick tattoo. So I'm meeting with my pastor. I'm kind of coming out of this state of depression. I'm like, all right, like, you know, football's going good. Like, I'm finding God again. And then I get to my redshirt freshman season. Don't see the field. Kind of, you know, falling back into temptation, falling back into the world. And I was just like, this is stupid. Like, obviously football is a problem. Like, I'm still putting my identity in Christ. Like, I need to get rid of football. I talked to my pastor. I'm like, I'm just going to quit. Like, it isn't benefiting me. Like, I was on such a good track finding God. He's like, no, don't quit. Don't quit. Like, he's like, you need to find how to live for Christ and play football at the same time. I'm like, okay. I'm like, who did that better than my own dad? My dad played football in Nebraska from 1989 to 1993. I was like, my dad's a super devout Christian. I was like, my dad knows how to do this. So I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, I'm going to quit football because I can't live for God and play football at the same time. He's like, why? Like, this, just don't live for the world. He's like, makes it sound so simple. In college, I'm like, Dad, like, you have all these temptations. He's like, dude, just put your identity in Christ, not football. I'm like, all right, like, thank you for telling me that again, because I've had you and Jason tell me that. I still don't know what that means, but okay. So I don't quit. I don't play again at all my redshirt freshman year. I'm like, this is so dumb. Like, I'm ready to play. I talked to my dad, like, should I transfer? He's like, no, don't transfer. Stick it out. I'm like, oh, all right, Dad, whatever you say. So I go through spring ball again, and I get to spring ball, and I'm competing for a starting spot finally. And the depth chart comes out the week before spring ball, and I'm a two. I'm like, why, Lord? Like, I'm finding you again. This isn't working out. You're not reaping my reward, Lord. Why? I found out that I was still putting my identity in football. I just needed to let everything go. I finally let everything go. I was like, all right, Lord. You know, if you want me to play here, I'll end up playing here. If you don't, then it's okay. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't matter whether I play for Nebraska, if I go to the NFL, none of that matters. As long as I have you, I'm fine. So I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, I don't have a starting spot. Going into spring ball. He's like, that's okay. Like, just trust the Lord and his plan. I'm like, you're right. I'm just going to trust the Lord. So a week later, the coach who did not like me gets fired. I'm like, all right, sweet. Like, yes, finally, like, God's looking out for me. Then the week later, COVID happens. So spring ball's over. No chance to even compete for the starting spot. Possibly cancellation of the season. I'm like, well, like, I can now hone in my craft. I can work out, focus on God, focus on relationship with God. Like, this is awesome. So come around July, I'd still been meeting with my pastor weekly, going over scripture. Like, I'm bringing my girlfriend at the time, like, back into her faith. As I said, like, she kind of quit going to church because of, she quit going to Catholic church because of me. So I'm bringing her, like, back into the faith with me, going to my church. Everything's going good. We get a call, like, hey, report to fall camp. We're going to have a season. I'm like, all right, awesome. Like, this is going to be the year that I play for Nebraska finally, like, one of my childhood dreams. We get back. I look up at my locker. On the locker, it says I'm a two. I was like, what the F? Like, God, what am I doing? I prayed and prayed, Lord. I've been good. I've followed what you wanted me to follow, Lord. Like, why am I not reaping these rewards? It was just a mess up on the locker. I was actually a one. So I was at a starting spot. My coach told me, because I called my dad when I saw that, I was bawling in tears. I was like, Dad, I'm not starting. Like, I thought I was gonna be a one. I'm not starting at all. He's like, well, he's like, just go through camp, see what happens. Like, if you honestly don't want to go through with it after camp, you don't have to. Like, I don't blame you. Like, it's okay. Maybe this is God telling you that this isn't for you. And I was like, you know what? All right, like, I'll get through camp, and whatever happens. I found out that the locker was just messed up, and I wasn't starting. So I called my dad back, still trying. I was like, Dad, I'm finally starting. He's like, told you, like, just gotta trust God's plan. I was like, yeah. So we go up to Ohio State. I make my first start, and I started ever since then. So, like, kind of talk about how you can live for Christ as a college athlete. Surrounding yourself with great people. I made that decision. I kind of surrounded myself with some, I don't want to say bad people, but people who didn't make the smartest choices, my first year of college. Then I became really good friends with this guy named Matt Masker. I don't know if any of you know who he is, but he is actually becoming a priest now, which is super sweet. So I started surrounding myself with good guys on the team, started going to Bible study all the time, along with reading scripture with my pastor still. And I was choosing to not live for the world. I was choosing to put my identity in Christ and not in football. Because at the end of the day, you're either going to win or lose. You're either going to be a starter or you're going to be on the bench. None of that matters to God at all. It's all about if you glorify Him while you're doing it, have the right mindset, and if you're truly doing it for the right reasons. I was truly doing it for the wrong reasons. I was doing it all for self-greed, self-righteousness. I was playing football because I wanted to be the man, not because I wanted to glorify God with the talents that He gave me. So that's just kind of like, that's like the gist of my testimony. It's kind of hard to explain like what it's like living out your faith as a college athlete, but in a sense, like, it's just turning away from every temptation that you have from the world. Like, there's parties, there's drugs, there's money, there's all these worldly things that come with being a Division I athlete, and I had to turn away from it. I had to put my identity back in Christ, not in football, and I had to realize what was important to me. Going over my conversion now. So, my conversion story is, I mean, not the most interesting. It's another conversion story that I'm sure you guys have heard before. But an emphasis I really want to make is, like, you guys are so lucky that you go to school here and are reminded of God 24/7. Like, that is one of the biggest blessings you can have, and I'm jealous of it, because I think it would be so cool to go to school where you see artifacts of God. See crucifix, you're surrounded by God here, and it's awesome. So my conversion story happens with some of my best friends from high school are pious kids. Josh Andreessen, Noah McCashlin, Drew Soder are some of my best friends who went to high school here. Also, my father-in-law is a deacon. So those are some guys who like really introduced me to the Catholic faith. So it all started, like, I was, you know, in my walk with God again, finally. Noah called me one day and was like, "Hey, you want to go to mass with me?" Cause we were going to go golf after church. And he's like, "You want to go to mass with me before we go golf?" I was like, "Sure. Like, it'd be cool because like you guys believe in God. I believe in God. Like, sure. I'll go to church with you." We were going to the UNL Newman Center, which is St. Thomas Aquinas, and I walk in there, and I was captivated. Like, it was so beautiful. I was like, why does my church not look like this? Like, you guys had stained glass windows, painting, pews. I mean, it smelled good. I was like, this is sweet. Like, you get to go to church here every Sunday. Like, that's pretty cool. So I go to mass. I have no clue. Like, people are sitting up, standing down, kneeling. Like, there's like chants, like there's prayers, everybody's praying out loud, and I'm like looking around, and they're like, "Oh," he's like, "open up the page 65 in your booklet," and I was like, "Okay," and so I'm like trying to follow along while everybody's praying and professing their faith, and I was like, I have no clue what's going on right now, but I'm just gonna act like I do. And I get done with mass, he's like, how was that? I was like, dude, that was weird. Like, I was like, that's so weird. Like, why do you guys stand up and kneel and say prayers out loud, like with everybody in unison? I was like, it's weird, but like it was kind of cool at the same time. I was like, yeah, man, if you want to go to church with me again next week, like just ask, I'll go with you. I was like, all right. And at this time, my pastor had actually taken a retreat leave. So he had been gone for a couple months on like a spiritual awakening. And I was like, all right, like I wasn't really messing with all the pastors. It was kind of hard for me to follow the sermons at my church. So I was starting to go to mass a little bit with Noah. So after I go to mass for a few weeks straight, it'd been like probably about a month straight I'd attended mass. I was getting kind of the hang of it. Like, I knew when to kneel, I knew when to stand. I was like, all right, like I feel better. I finally like asked my mom. I was like, "Mom, why did you guys leave the Catholic Church?" And she told me just like, Dad didn't agree with everything. He stood firm in his faith that he what he believed in. And I was like, And I respect that. I still respect it to this day. Because that's all what faith is about, is standing firm in what you believe. So I still respect that from my father. But I was like, you know, like I'm kind of interested in this Catholic faith. I'm just going to look into it more. And my wife and I were, my fiance and I at the time were planning our wedding. And Noah and Josh then invited me to go to RCIA. And I still don't really know what RCIA stands for. But I attended it week in, week out. It was every Thursday night down there at the Neiman Center. And Father Sassy, I don't know if any of you know who Father Sassy is, but he's the man. Like, he was exactly like my pastor was in my old church, so I felt comfortable with him right away. So I attend these RCIA classes every Thursday night with Noah. And most of the people in there are actually Catholic. There were not very many people who were going for confirmation. So we're in there every Thursday night, and like the messages each Thursday like are just like captivating me more and more. Like I'm feeling this tug in my heart. Like I think I need to become Catholic. You know, we toured the chapel. We toured the Marian Chapel. We toured the whole church. We talked about the sacraments, the saints. And then the topic of the Eucharist finally came up. And that was like probably my biggest issue with the Catholic Church at the time. I didn't believe that Jesus was in the Eucharist. I thought it was very morbid, very cannibalistic. Like, I always thought that my whole life. And I was like, all right, like this is either going to be the message that brings me into the church or completely pushes me away and I'll never return. And when Father Sassy broke it down and talked about how Jesus talked about gnawing on the flesh, I was like, holy cow, like this is legit. Like Jesus is actually in the Eucharist. Like that is Jesus present. And I was crying again. Like I've cried a lot these last 4 years in my walk with God. Like, it's just been so beautiful. So I had a realization like right there and then, like I need to be Catholic. Like I fully believe in what the Catholic Church stands for. And the only problem that came along with that is we had our wedding planned. We had our date picked. We had our venue picked. We had our church picked. We had everything picked. So I was talking with my pastor, and Father Sassy's like, hey, like, I think I want to be Catholic. And I went the route. I didn't become Catholic last Easter Vigil. It's something that I kind of, I don't want to say I regret, but I would maybe change that decision. But I really wanted my pastor to marry me because he helped me bring me so close to God. But Father Sassy, I talked with Father Sassy and I explained to him like the things that were holding me back from becoming Catholic at Easter Vigil. I had some understandings that I didn't know like how to interpret from the Bible. And the Catholic Church interpreted it, and I didn't understand it. So he promised that he would meet with me, and all I had to promise him was that I would go to Mass every weekend and give it an honest try to become Catholic next year. And I'm happy to say that since becoming very rooted in my faith and thinking about becoming Catholic, I haven't missed Mass since August 2022. I've made it my priority every Sunday to get my wife and I there. I brought my wife now back into the church, back into her faith, which is probably the most important thing to me, because I want my wife to be a very devout woman for Christ. And so that is my story. That's my testimony. That's my conversion. That's kind of my walk with God through college football and having faith.